Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is an encore edition of Soundcheck.
And now for my next number, I'd like to return to the classic.
Classic.
I'd like to return to the classic.
We return to the age of the jingle, courtesy of some music superstars. I'm John Schaefer, and this is Soundcheck. Coming up on the show, we'll have a live performance by singer-songwriter Lucy Wainwright Roach, the musical talent of two old folk music families coming together in her work. And later, music that goes with a monster show of sorts. You'll just have to stay with us to find out more. But we begin with this song by rappers Kanye West, Nas, and KRS-One. It was specifically written for the 25th anniversary of a sneaker, Nike's Air Force One. And as CD sales keep plunging, TV ads are more important than ever for the music business. But how does the new dynamic impact artists and their work? We'll start with Josh Rabinowitz, Senior Vice President and Director of Music at Gray Group Advertising. Josh, good to see you again.
Great to be back.
So, in your new Billboard column called With the Brand, you say that this the kind of confluence of music and advertising come back full circle to what? To the days of I'd like to buy the world a Coke, that sort of thing?
Well, certainly back in the day, jingles were prevalent and prominent, and songs where the product was mentioned. It's changed over the years, and we still do jingles, and we still do underscores original music, but often what happens is we're licensing famous pieces of music with great cachet attached to them.
But I think what's interesting about the Kanye West, Nas, KRS-One thing is this was not something that was already out there and was then licensed for an advertising campaign. These guys got together and wrote this to celebrate a sneaker.
Exactly. And Nike is a great brand that delves into some interesting music these days.
So what is, in fact, changing here? I mean, what's the big sea change, if there is one, happening now?
It certainly has to do with the digital revolution and the changing tides of the music business. And the same thing is happening with advertising. Advertising is challenged with the digital age, and they're trying to be more relevant, more entertaining, break through the clutter. And, you know, it's a great venue for people to get their music out there to consumers, because there's not a lot of places you get to hear new music these days.
Now, what does it mean that this song, Classic, ends up getting a Grammy nomination? Does that add a certain cachet to the idea of, you know, being commissioned to write a song for an ad campaign?
I certainly think it does. I mean, this is obviously, these are very high-end artists, and Rick Rubin produced it and mixed it, and it's the top of the game in music, and a lot more people are selling in, as I like to say, into the advertising mold.
As opposed to selling out? All right. How different, I mean, if we go back to the 1960s and hear, well, let's do just that. Let's go back to the 1960s and hear a little bit of a classic jingle.
I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is what I truly like to be. 'Cause if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, everyone would be in love with me.
Right. I mean, we could, you know, everybody knew the song. I mean, it was clearly written specifically for the commercial, Josh. What has changed from that? Have we gone back to that era where people are now writing songs specifically for products and then maybe thinking, spin this out and maybe get me a Grammy nomination and a hit download or something?
I think people are more cognizant of the fact that their music could be used in an ad, and it is a great way to get their music out there. So people are thinking about it. And I certainly deal with a lot of publishers and record labels, and they are in constant contact with me and talking about artists and stuff.
So what does U2 get out of, you know, hooking up with Apple? What does Bob Dylan get out of Cadillac? I mean, these guys, they don't need the money or the exposure. They've got that. What's in it for them?
Well, certainly for Bob Dylan to remain relevant and kind of modern and contemporary, it is a great way to connect with younger consumers. For U2, I think it's just connecting with like the supreme brand of Apple. That, you know, the cachet of attaching yourself to Apple is tremendous.
So in fact, it's something that they would like. It's not something where they're like, well, I guess the money's good. Yeah, you can use my song.
I don't even know if U2 was actually really compensated for that. You know, I mean, they did release an iPod that had that was full of the entire repertoire of U2's music.
That's right.
Music.
It was a limited edition iPod that came pre-stocked with all the U2 songs. Now, what about Rihanna? She's she's the cover girl for Cover Girl.
She's a fantastic cover girl. Cover Girl has used her. Initially, she was just going to be used as a fashion model in print. And then this exceptional idea came into play where they used her song. They kind of premiered the song and parts of the music video on a commercial, and then it kind of played out.
So, wait a minute. Umbrella, her hit song, was actually premiered on a commercial?
The song actually came out right before the commercial, but they used footage from the video in the commercial for the first time.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Here's a little bit of the song we're talking about, Rihanna's Umbrella. All right, that's Rihanna's hit song, Umbrella. So it's a pop song first, but just barely. And then on the heels of chart success has become the advertising jingle, if you will, for CoverGirl and their brand of lipstick. We've been speaking so far with Josh Rabinowitz, Senior VP and Director of Music at Gray Group Advertising, and now writing the new Billboard column with the brand. Also joining us is David McGinnis. He's head of licensing for MuteSong, a music publishing company based in London, and he joins us on the phone from London. David, a lot of people seem to be suggesting that television, advertising in particular, has become the new A&R, you know, the new artist and repertoire development in the music industry. Would you say that that's at least in part true? And if so, is that a good thing or bad?
I don't know if that's necessarily true, really. I think that people have been using music and advertising for quite a while. I think that with declining record sales, people are looking in other areas to try and make more money. And I think to an extent that a lot of the stuff that people talk about in terms of advertising and development really comes down to the fact that for many artists, life's a struggle, and they get involved because of the money and to a certain extent the exposure, but mainly money.
So the idea of U2, as Josh was saying before, hooking up with Apple because it's like a brand you want to be associated with, that's the exception rather than the rule, would you say?
Well, certainly in my experience, that's the exception. I can't look into the mind of U2 because they are a completely rare entity in the music business. There's nobody like them in terms of their size and stature. So for the artists that I represent, these decisions are a lot more basic when it comes to whether or not to use music in an advertisement. And I'm employed to do that. I'm employed to seek out opportunities for them in advertising and film and computer games and so forth. But that doesn't mean that we're not cautious the whole time, making sure it's right for the artist and making sure that if they do it, that they're properly rewarded.
Josh, you're at the other end. You're in the advertising business. I mean, are people beating a path to your door, or is it, are you actively having to go out and look for things?
People have certainly, over the years, more and more started to beat a path at my door, and it's really because of the decline in record sales, and they need the other revenue. But certainly, a placement in an Apple commercial, for instance, or a Target commercial, or an AT&T commercial on the Super Bowl, or a Coke commercial, I mean, that's better than radio airplay, I'd say. And with a heavy media buy, it's going to tattoo itself into your consciousness, and it's a great way to get the music out there.
David, when you go to one of your artists and say, look, we've gotten an offer from this ad agency, they're doing a campaign for this project, how hard a sell is it for you to get the artist to sign on the dotted line?
Well, there are some artists that I work with. We work with Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, and they have a no advertising policy, and they've had that all their career. So I don't even speak to them about these things. But then there are other artists who I know are amenable to it. So it can be a hard sell from time to time, depending on the brand, and also, as I said, depending on the money. I don't think that anyone would get involved with the campaign if there wasn't some reward.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not financial, then I have to spell it out to them another way. I mean, it's down to the artist to decide what they wish to do. But
I
am cautious.
It sounds like you, as the person who has to go out and get these opportunities for your artists, are actually kind of conflicted about the whole thing.
No, I'm not conflicted, no. I mean, I think it's important to remember that the company wouldn't employ me if all the artists on the roster were phenomenally successful in terms of, like, lots and lots and lots of money, and they could turn things down. The bands like Radiohead and some other bands like that often turn things down. I think that people do advertising for a reason,
mm-hmm.
And I think that Josh is right. People are beating a path to his door, and certainly we are as well. So it's not so much a conflict. It's just we have nothing against the brands or the advertising or anything. It's just that it has to work for both parties.
And can an artist build a career on this sort of thing?
I don't believe an artist can build a career on. They can start something, but they can also be finished. There was a couple of instances in the UK where early in the 80s and 90s where artists had a big hit with an ad. And then it kind of never went further with that. So it can be difficult for a first timer. So it is dicey. I think that we still have to focus on artists connecting with an audience in the traditional way, like playing gigs, selling records, and doing shows. Advertising might come into that, but I certainly don't think it's necessarily in the spirit of rock and roll to have that replace radio play and say live shows.
Well, there's a case study, this British pop group Cranes.
Oh, right, yes.
Now, their music was used in, an American Express ad, right?
That's right, yeah. We had their song in an American Express ad, and that happened a few years ago. And we were approached about that. We'd sort of put that song around. It was an interesting story. They'd worked that piece of music for another project that I was working on. And then when they saw what they had, they decided they wanted it for their album. So they put it on their album. And we had made samplers, and they had gone all over the place. And eventually we got a call from the United States saying, would we be interested in putting it in the American Express ad? I spoke to the artists, and we agreed to do it. And I think that the money side of it was very, very important, you know.
And the exposure as well, but...
the exposure was important, but, I mean, it's interesting because it was an instrumental piece.
And we're hearing a bit of it in the background, actually.
Sure,
now.
Yeah. It was an instrumental piece, and I don't think we got much additional record sales off of it. But it was nice, and the band liked it, and we thought it was a very pretty ad, and it had Kate Winslet in it, and it looked okay for us. And American Express is a product that a lot of us use, so there wasn't a problem.
All right, the song is called Astronauts from the British band called Cranes. British band Cranes. Astronauts is the name of this instrumental, which appeared in an American Express ad campaign here, the My Life, My Card ad that features Kate Winslet. And we're talking with David McGinnis, who is head of licensing for Mutesong in London, a music publishing company there. And here in our studio, Josh Rabinowitz from Grey Group Advertising, the director of music and senior vice president there. David was saying, you know, Josh, it's about the money. Can bands afford not to take this opportunity when it comes to them?
Well, certainly I think it's always a great opportunity, unless it's uniting and unifying yourself with a brand that doesn't resonate with you. I know that there was a lot of complaints about a John Cougar Mellencamp usage of My Country with Chevrolet, and had conflicted messages, Rosa Parks, Vietnam War, 9/11. People were confused by it. And, you know, he as a brand kind of conflicting with the brand Chevy, it didn't really make sense. However, you know, for many people, it's a really resonant situation. And oftentimes people are willing to offer the license gratis, you know, for free, and let you use the song without us paying them any money.
So people come to you and they say, I think that this artist's songs could be perfect for one of your campaigns, and you don't have to pay us for it?
Exactly. Sometimes they'd like to have a chyron on there that says the name of the artist and stuff, and oftentimes they'd like you to be able to direct you to a website or something like that.
David, you told us earlier today, I'll quote something you wrote in an email to our production team, "I don't believe any young artist ever picked up a guitar with the dream of being in a Toyota ad." but it does seem like, you know, a lot of the younger artists these days are pretty media savvy, and they are recognizing that being placed in a television show, being placed in an ad campaign, could be a really important thing for their careers.
Well, I think it's important to distinguish between films and television shows and advertisements. I mean, being in a film is a great thing, especially if it's a good film. I mean, we've had music in lots of interesting feature films, and it's a completely different situation. We would never, I don't think we would ever consider doing a gratis license. But as you're saying, yes, some artists are media savvy, and it depends whether or not they see themselves as a product. And this is, and most of the artists that I work with, and we're a small company with a fairly left-field catalog, and most of the artists I work with don't consider themselves products. They consider themselves artists, and they consider what they do art. And so when we're approached to do an advertisement, or when I'm pitching them, I'm very conscious of that, and I think sensitive to it. Unless they want to position themselves as a product, I don't know how they could do a gratis license.
Well, was it your job to have to pitch Cheerios to the Torpedo Boys?
Well, actually, that was a funny one. That's a band that we sub-publish from out of Germany. They're a great band from Berlin, and that came out of nowhere. But interestingly, that track had been is actually an instrumental version of a bigger track from their album, and it's called "Any Trash, Professor Abacus." But no, that wasn't difficult. But they're a small band, and it seemed funny and fun, and they went with it. And it's been very good for them. It's been extremely helpful in keeping their careers rolling along.
This is the song in question, "Abacus" by the Torpedo Boys. Band is the Torpedo Boys. In a European-wide ad campaign for Cheerios, you can hear this music, Abacus. And we're speaking with David McGinnis, who is the head of licensing for Mute Song, and Josh Rabinowitz, who is the director of music at Grey Group Advertising, here in our studio. We have a listener comment. Frank in Brooklyn writes, "Let's not forget that even Herbie Hancock's most beloved tune, Maiden Voyage, was originally penned for a Yardley cologne commercial." So apparently, Josh, we started off with the KRS-One Nas Kanye West collaboration for Nike sneakers. Apparently, that's not a new thing, that an artist who, you know, is seen as an artist and not a jingle writer would write something for an ad campaign. Is that the future? Is that where we're headed now?
It's likely that that's going to be part of where the music industry is going. I think that with the failing record label model, the traditional model, the record companies are morphing into more like media companies, and they're doing these 360-degree deals. And, you know, one of the best ways of generating revenue is to align yourself with a brand. And I think you're going to find that some of the brands are going to take the reins and they're going to start to release music on their own. I've certainly been involved with some initiatives where we've recorded music specifically, original music specifically for a brand. And I think the brands are going to start to own some of the IP, some of the intellectual property, and it's really going to change. And certainly branding and advertising has been the underwriter of a lot of what's gone on in the entertainment business, and I think you're going to see a shift in that in the next 5 to 10 years.
David, if that shift does in fact occur on your side of the Atlantic as well, how do you think your artists will react to it?
Well, it's not – I mean – the artists that I represent, and a great many artists, will just continue to do exactly what they're doing, which is creating music, and they create music for the sake of that, and they hope to achieve big audience success, but they do what they do because they have to do it. Now, I can't see serious artists allowing their careers to be driven by brands and advertising.
Although getting a commission to write a song from whoever, I mean, how is that any different from Bach receiving a commission from, you know, the court where he was working? I mean, it's...
Well, no, there isn't any difference. And certainly a great many of our artists write music for advertising and for films and so forth. There's a little bit more anonymity to that. But again, it is done, you know, for the money. So no, there isn't any difference, and I don't necessarily disrespect any artists or any brands for putting music in ads. It's just a question of if it works for them and if it helps to sustain their career. Because a lot of artists who are making interesting, left of field, maybe challenging music.
They're not going to be getting the phone calls from a lot of the ad agencies. Yeah.
Yeah.
David McGinnis is head of licensing for Mute Song in London. Josh Rabinowitz here in the studio is VP and director of music at Grey Group Advertising here in New York. And in the background, Lifehouse frontman Jason Wade wrote this song, From Where You Are, for Allstate. And yet the song recently hit the Billboard Top 100. Is this the wave of the future? Well, only time will tell. David, Josh, thank you both for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thanks, John.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Up next, songwriter Lucy Wainwright Roach talks about her famous musical family and plays live in our studio. I miss the years that were erased. I miss the way the sunshine would light up your face. I miss all the little things. I never thought that they'd mean everything to me. Yeah, I miss you. You're listening to a repeat broadcast of Soundcheck.